All right. In light of the encounter today, though, I want to share what I believe is God's process. I've got a title there, God's Process for Life. And this is the process from God, how we grow and really implement the significance of the cross, the significance of Jesus being alive in our lives. There's multitudes of people outside churches and inside churches that go through life having no idea why they're unhappy, why they're unfulfilled. They're confused, they're messed up, struggling with the purpose of what's it all about? Why do we do this? When I was a young man, I was right out of college. I got my degree in the field that I wanted, that I knew I was called to, and I was working my first really good job, good paying job. I was making more money than I could have imagined making. I was 19 years old. It's a 2-year degree. And even with that, I still remember thinking, is this it? And what is this life about? Is this what it's all about? Is just making a good paycheck? And because I really was confused as to my place in the world. And so God doesn't want us wandering aimlessly, trying to figure out and just go through motions of doing nice things and staying out of trouble. He made us for a reason. And there's a process for life in Christ that I believe is laid out. And it's God is so concerned about it, he put it right in a really obvious place, right at the beginning of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible. And I think the creation story is one of my favorite stories, one of my favorite topics. I believe it's a six 24-hour period creation story. I don't believe God used millions of years to do what he did that he describes in the first chapter of Genesis. But I believe there's a process here that you'll see the creation account in a different way once we go through this. And I just want to open in prayer. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for everyone here and that you obviously are working in their lives to bring them to a place of wanting to know you more. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, a fresh perspective and a fresh word of encouragement for who we are and how you made us to function, to operate for life in Christ. Lord, bless this time and bless your word and give us insight. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to do, I've only done this once other time that I remember, but let's stand up and I'm going to read the first chapter of Genesis, or almost all of the first chapter of Genesis, as we just honor the word. It'll be on the screen. Read along with me as we go. It's a little bit of a chunk, but it's good to read the word. So here we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate the water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. I'm going to stop there. You can have a seat. I appreciate you standing. So I want to lay out 7 steps from this passage that we just read. 7 steps in the process of life in Christ. And these are the gears, like the gears that all work together, that are interwoven, that are connected to produce the life of Christ in us. And these reflect how God made us to really live fully, to operate your walk with Christ. And coming off an encounter where we go through the cross, it's the beginning point, it's the gate. Jesus is the gate. But we don't stop at the gate. We keep going into the kingdom and walk in the kingdom of God. And there's so many things that the Israelites didn't learn in the wilderness that they died off in the wilderness. They got delivered. They walked out by the blood of the Lamb. They got delivered, but they didn't get set free. They didn't come into the promised land. And so this is part of an extension of the encounter weekend that I want to, but it'll apply to everyone. And it applies over and over and over. Hopefully you'll live your life by these principles that are right there in Genesis chapter 1. So the first step, first gear, is desperation. Number one is desperation. And Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, it says, was hovering over the waters. Another version, the word brooding. God, the Spirit of God was brooding over what was formless and dark and empty. And there's a lot that could be said about what was there that he was brooding over. But I'm not going to get into that. Just the idea that he was lingering over formlessness, over emptiness, over a dark place. And for us, it's a form of intercession. It's brooding over, where we get to the point where we're lingering, marinating, we're hanging out, we're pondering, meditating, wondering, we're looking, where we're lingering over an empty time or a dark place. Have you ever been in that point where you're just like, what's going on here? And you're pressing into God. It's like me questioning my purpose in life when I was successfully employed as a young man with making more money than I had expenses. And I'm still like in this place of emptiness. And I actually responded to a radio ad for L. Ron Hubbard books. And do you remember that? It's just a false, it's a cult. And I realized it, thankfully, pretty quick and threw that away. But there's this lingering, there's this brooding. And it has to start with a place of desperation. And not that God is ever desperate. God wasn't desperate. I'm not saying that. He's never like, oh, what am I going to do now? He never, never is that way. But this is a process, and I believe it's part of the reason it's there. It's for how you have to be desperate before you will go to the next step. You have to come to a place of desperation. You have to be not okay with where things are at before you will move on to a different place. And the second place is, number two, is revelation. Scripture says, let there be light, the first word, after the brooding of God over this formless and dark place was, let there be light, and there was light, and it was good. But it comes after a time where he was brooding. And we don't come into the light until we're desperate to look for it. My son Tony reminded me recently, as he shared, about in our basement, we have an unfinished, kind of a cavernous, unfinished, dark, cave-like basement. And when they were growing up, we didn't have ceiling lights in this section of the basement, so you have to go down. I had a shop light, a fluorescent 4-foot shop light, hanging on some nails in the open trusses. But the only way to turn it on was to go down in the dark and get the extension cord that I had hanging there and the plug of the light and plug them in, and now you got light. But you had to go down there, and our kids were, there was not a whole lot of reason to go down in our dungeon basement, but every now and then the kids were brave enough and desperate enough to go down for something, desperate enough to go through the spider webs and creepy crawler things and go down there and grope around in the dark and find the two plugs and plug them in. It's like, oh, now I can see. And you have to be desperate enough. You don't grope around in the dark unless you're desperate enough to be brought to that place. Amen? You have to want to. But when you are desperate enough, the light comes. When you reach out, God says, seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. But God chooses to remain a little out of touch until you're desperate enough. Press in to seek him. And then you find out that he's real. You find out that his promises are real. You find out all the good, awesome, powerful things about Jesus when you seek him with all your heart. Let there be light, and there was light, and it was good. And you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He gives comfort. He gives counsel. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is the Spirit of illumination. He illuminates those who seek him. He gives understanding. He gives counsel. That's his job. He's the counselor. He's the guide. He reminds us of everything Jesus said and taught and did. He gives us light, and it's good. So we have to be desperate. It has to be. And I hope you write these down maybe on your bulletin, because there's just these seven words: desperation, revelation, number three, separation. Separation. God separated the light from the darkness. He separated the waters from waters. He separated the land from water. There was a lot of separation going on in creation in those first steps that God did. God is a line drawer. He draws a line. When those of his come into the light, he says, here's what you need to walk in the light and not walk in darkness. You need to build new relationships here and let these old relationships go. Amen. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? That you had to let some relationships go when you come into the light? He says, light, you go here. Darkness, you go there. Waters, you go here. Waters, you go there. Land, waves, stop right there. You ocean waves, stop right there. Land, you continue there. God is he's a line drawer. He told Israel, come out of Egypt. Be separate. Come out from among them. He tells us, come out from among them. And they came out of Egypt. They came out of a pagan, multi-God-worshipping culture. They separated themselves. And I want to look at 2 Corinthians 14, or chapter 6, actually, starting in verse 14, and read some of this. It's the same for us. We're called to be separate. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And I'm going to skip ahead. It says, for we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then chapter 7, verse 1 says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Amen? And I don't mean, he says, walk in the light. He draws a line, walk in the light. Get out of the darkness. Separate yourself. This is part of God's process for how we experience and enjoy the life of Christ and how we bring it, not the blessing of God, not only to our lives, but to those all around us. And I don't mean go off in the woods and be a hermit so you stay out of trouble and stay out of the world. But we're to be in the world, but not of it. We're to be going into all the world, but not be worldly. Right? So we're called to the world. We're called to love people. I'm not talking about that, but we're called to, Jesus was right in there with the sinners, the publicans, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, but he wasn't participating in that life. He loves people, and we're to love people, not be of the world. So that's separation. Four is reproduction. Genesis 1:11 says, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. Now, this is not multiplication. This is reproduction, which is different. This is with the seed is in itself. Reproduction starts with, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies. Unless it falls to the ground and dies. That seed that gets planted dies. Its identity, its purpose has now been done and taken over. It becomes a new thing, and that dead seed becomes a multiplied, reproducing power unless it dies to self. We are to die to ourselves. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross. A cross is a piece of execution. It is only to bring death to the person hanging on it. Take up your cross and follow me. And that's a must. Jesus puts a must in front of that. On the third day, seed producing plants, vegetation came, and those seeds have to die before they will bring life. And we have to die to ourselves. When you are desperate enough for God, and God reveals himself, illuminates you, reveals himself to you, and then gives you that kind of revelation, he calls us to reproduction. But he calls us to dying to ourselves. When we die, that's when we really find our lives. That's when we really reproduce the life of Christ in us. I heard a story. I just recently got scuba certified. And my wife and I are going out of town this week. And I'm going to go do a little scuba diving for the first time in the ocean. And I was traveling with a guy who was an experienced scuba diver. And he told me a story. He says, there's nothing like night scuba diving. And it's like, wow. He says, yeah, you got to have a flashlight. And one time he's talking about a flashlight that he had that he used all the time. And he's down there with a group of people, night diving, and his flashlight literally exploded in his hand right underwater. Boom! just as in pieces, right in his hand. He's got no backup light. That was the only one he had. And he said, thankfully, there was other people. You know, I'm with a group, so I just kind of hung behind them and kind of swam and watched what they were looking at so I could see what's going on, because it's just black. But he said, in the process, out of the corner of my eye, I notice, I look over, and here's this thing lit up. And there's another one. And there's another one. And he's seeing these fish that are these iridescent, glowing, lit up night fish that he never noticed before. He'd been doing it for years. And until his own flashlight burst and died, he never realized all this world of iridescent. And now, he said, even after I got a replacement light, I often turn it off. I just turn it off and see what I can see in the dark, 30, 40, 50, 60 feet down. And he said, it's a world I didn't know existed until my own flashlight blew up in my hand. And I tell you, until your own life dies, there's a world of life that you don't know exists. Until you say, you know what, my will may not be the most important will that matters. There might be a more important will. There might be a whole lot more out there if you would just, you know, zip it. Sorry. I'm not looking at anyone when I say zip it. Not eye contact. But there is a world of life when we let Jesus be Lord. When we say, God, you know me better than I know me. You know this world better than I know this world. You know my life before, now, and after better than I will ever comprehend. Lead me. Guide me. I want to die to myself, and I want to really come into reproduction of life in Christ. Amen. Then number 5, elevation. Now, verse 16 says there was two lights. God made two great lights, the greater to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. Now, we know it's the sun and the moon. They rule. There's the word govern, governing, this whole context of governing. When you die to yourself, it's not just so you stay dead, but so that he can govern. You come under his governance. And I'm not talking about worshiping the sun and the moon. I'm not talking about worshiping created things, but coming under God's rule, the key word, governing. You come under, he is elevated. You let him be elevated in your life. You let him be on the throne. You let him be the highest one. The preeminent one is Jesus Christ, who deserves all glory and honor. He's worthy of our worship, and we worship him. We let him rule in us. We choose to be governed from above. The sun and the moon govern from above. They govern the day and the night. And it only happens when we die to ourselves and let him rule. His ways are so much higher than our ways, so much better than our ways. We talk about taking the low road or taking the high road of integrity. Well, he's the higher road. He's the heavenly road. We take that heavenly road and good things happen. My way, the highway, or the higher way. It's really a lordship issue. When you come into, let him be the elevated one that you look up to and you trust. Number 6, multiplication. Here's where we get into multiplication. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, and I'll say multiply. Now this church is really doing a great job at multiplying babies over and over. Way to go, gang. Way to be fruitful and multiply, whether one or two at a time. Way to go, Felix. You know, more twins are just fine. Triplets, anyone for triplets? Let's go for triplets. But it's also evangelizing souls, about reproducing souls. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. And this is a job from God. To evangelize is being employed by God to win souls, to be a soul winner, is a purpose that is an amazing challenge, an amazing long-term job and call. Everyone is called to share their faith. Everyone There's some that are called to be evangelists, but we're all called to evangelize, right? You all have a story. You all have a story. It's your own story. God gave you a story. You're called to share it. And I love what verse 6 in Philemon chapter 1, 6 says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. As you share your faith, it's like questions and things and perspectives come back to you. It's like, wow, I never thought of that. Or that's a great question, and I'll get back to you on that. Or you find out where people are at. But your story is a story that's uniquely yours. So pray that you would be active in sharing your faith. Not just your story of how you came to know Jesus, but your story about how God lives and moves and is involved in your life day to day. How he provides, how he guides, how he's leading you. Why you do what you do. Why you go to this crazy church week after week after week after week. Why do you do that? So, don't say I don't know. So, have ideas of why. Even if you got to check your notes, like, why do I? Oh, yeah, here's why I do that. Have some answer to be ready. We're called to be ready, and people want to know. I grew up hating church, but now I love it. I have my favorite church, you know, right here. And God has lots of people that he wants to bring by you that he wants himself multiplied into their lives. He wants you, not just for you. He wants the dozens and hundreds and thousands of people that are connected to you to exponentially be impacted. And that's, you are a result of what, of the faithfulness of 11 people, or really 120 people in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. You are the fruit of faithful 120 people that waited on the Lord and received the power of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses worldwide. And here we are across the ocean, opposite side of the planet, reaping the benefits of faithful people over in Israel in Jesus' day. And there's going to be more impacted by you. And that's who God has in mind when he looks at you. And that's what's exciting for me. And another pastor told me this, when you're preaching to 100 people or 50 people or 200 people, you're not just preaching to those 200 people, you're preaching to thousands of people. You are investing life, the seed of the Word of God, into people that will impact thousands. And so, way to go, guys. Way to go. Keep it up. Jesus is very proud of you guys. So, he's all about multiplication. Be fruitful and multiply. This isn't just babies. This is souls. This is the life of Christ. This is multiply Jesus wherever you go. And finally, the last one, dominion. He said in the same passage, be fruitful, multiply, and then fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. Rule over the animals, the fish, the birds. Rule over everything. He gave dominion to us. He gave dominion to Adam and Eve. He gives dominion to us in Christ. He says, don't go as a, I'm the weakest link in this world of, you know, power and might. It's like, no, you are a child of the living God. You are a son and a daughter of the creator of this whole place. And I talk about it when my dad was alive and that he started a company in Castle Rock. And when I walk in there, you know, I wasn't trying to puff myself up or anything, but because I'm a son of the founder of this company that's employed by 50 or so people, they know who I am. And I don't have to go there every day. They know who I am. And I walk in there, hey, Steve, hey, Mr. Crombie, how's it going? And these guys have been there working for my parents' business for decades, and they honor me as a son of the big kahuna, you know? And it's not something, but it's a picture of, you are a child of the King of the United States, the King of the North American continent. You are a child of the King of all the continents. He's the creator of this whole place, and you're his son. You are to walk around with a special privilege, and you do. And my kids, they're adults, my grandkids know a lot of the nooks and crannies of this place because they're my kids and they're my grandkids. And yeah, they can go there. Yeah, they can go in the tower. There's my kids were one of the first ones to go up in the top of the tower. Anyway, it's just a picture of dominion. You're not the leftover, beat-down minority of this planet. You're the sons and daughters of the Most High. Amen? And so hold your chin up, and you have permission. You have authority to make a difference. You're called to it. He wants you to have influence, and not just over the natural world. I'm not talking about, again, worshiping created things, ruling over just fish and animals, and you know, Christians ought to be the best ones at taking care of this planet. I'll just say they should be the best at it, because this is our dad's place, and we should take care of it like we take care of this place. And I'll just conclude with this. I'm going to finish with this as an example. And I'm not alone. There's a lot of us that when we see something around this building that's still new to us, and I still marvel at it, I'm still just completely enamored with joy that we have our own facility to meet in week after week and to have events at, and we don't have to book it a year in advance from a rental place, and we can do things, and it's wonderful. But when we see things, amen, yes. Can we give a thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When we see things and we see things that need to be done, we want to do it. We want to fix it because we can. We want to paint a room? We can paint it. And we don't have to get permission. And recently, there's some few men. I think one of them, Michael Boyer, is one of them here. Joe Chavis is, I don't know if he's here. There he is. And Gail Cook, another one. They offered to help out. I said, they asked me, what do you need done around here? I said, well, actually, are you really sure you want it? Yeah, anything. I don't care what. You really sure you want it? Got this project that I've been kind of holding on to for a special occasion. And they said, I told them our tower over there needs cleaning every floor. What it is, it's about 6 or 7 layers, floors with ladders going to each hole in the floor. You get, and there's plaster and rubble, and there's, at a certain level, it's all, it looks like rubble, 6 inches deep. It's actually pigeon dew. 6 inches deep, and these guys voluntarily went up there and bucket after bucket after bucket cleaned out, I don't know how many pounds of debris from the tower. Debris. We'll call it debris. Refuse. Organic, some of it's organic refuse. And I wish I was in the middle of another project, so I didn't take before and after pictures like I like to do, but I want to show you just a couple. I got Michael up there, and it doesn't tell the story. I said, let's go back up there. I want to take some pictures. Now leave it there. You couldn't even hardly tell that that's a wooden floor. Now you can see, oh, it's a wooden floor. Some of the floors you couldn't tell it's a metal floor, but it's a metal floor, lo and behold, once you cleared the 6 inches of stuff off of it. And then in the process, and I just want to say, in the process, he discovered a little buddy up there, and I come by, and Michael's got something on his arm outside. He came down, and I pulled over, and I said, what do you got there? And show the next one. He's petting this little thing, and here, it's a little bat. And he found a bat up there. You just leave that there. Found a bat up there. And he's petting this bat. He said it fell down, broke his wing. So he's got it on his arm, and he brought it down to, and is that the craziest thing you've ever seen? I've never, he's got a love for animals. I love animals too, but I don't know if I'd have loved quite like that. And he's got this injured bat, and sometimes God asks us to minister to some pretty unwanted characters. But God loves them. And God wants them. God cares about every character. And I just want to thank you, Michael, for that picture. I've never seen anything quite like that. In fact, what did you do with him? Does it? Well, here he comes now. Here he comes. Oh, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But you and I have been given a great trust. A great trust to represent Christ. To represent him to all people. All people. Lovely people, unlovely people. Wanted people, unwanted people. Because we all can experience, we can all relate to some measure of, man, I'm so grateful to be forgiven by God. So grateful that he overlooked my sins, my transgressions, my refuse, my debris. And he received me and hugs me and welcomed me. And he welcomes people. The creator of the universe trusts you and I to represent him on the earth in a powerful way. Desperation, revelation, separation, reproduction, elevation, multiplication, and dominion. This is God's process for life that wipes out confusion and aimlessness for a lot of people, but it starts with desperation. It's all a sequence. There's a reason the Genesis 1 account is sequential like that. And I are you desperate enough? And this is an ongoing, repeat process. It's not a one-time shot. You don't just get there and you're there and you don't have... Stay desperate. Stay in a place of, I need Jesus. I want God. I want your will to be done. I don't want my will. I don't want my wisdom to be on the throne. I want your wisdom elevated high above. I want to seek wisdom from above. I want to hear from you and do your will on the earth. I want to represent you well. God needs you and God wants you, and he calls you to life with him. Let's just stand up and close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I just pray that you would use us, Lord. Thank you that you are using us. Father, thank you for the plans that you have. Thank you for your word. And the process in Genesis 1, Lord, I pray that we would meditate on that and just really see the pattern and the system and the way you do things and just the amazing gifts and purpose you give, that you gave Adam and Eve and you give us, is to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over it. What an incredible responsibility that you trust us with. Father, I pray that you would help us to walk in the fullness of it. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us first. Just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.